Your business continuity program was built for one crisis at a time. A hurricane, a data breach, a supplier outage, a workplace violence incident. Pick one, you work the plan, and then you move on. But that world is completely gone. In 2026, crises do not line up and just wait their turn. They arrive together. They feed each other. They compound. And the programs that most organizations rely upon were never designed to handle more than one of these crises at a time. That is the polycrisis. And if you have not built for it, you're going to find out the hard way. I'm Brian Strausser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath, and this is the Managing Uncertainty Podcast. Today's episode is built on a new BrightPath report that we just published last week called the Polycrisis Playbook. You can find the full report at brightpath.com/polycrisis. And the link is also in the show notes. So I'm going to walk you through three things on today's show. First, what the polycrisis really is. Not the buzzword version, but the operational version. The version that matters when you're sitting in your global security operations center at 3 a.m. with three different things on fire in three different places in the world. Second, why most business continuity and crisis management programs fail when they meet the polycrisis. And that's the uncomfortable part of this conversation, because most programs were not built badly. They were just built for a different problem. And third, what do we see as the four capabilities that you need to build next? The work that will get you from where you are to where you need to be. So let's get into it. Here's the thesis of our report and of this idea, stated as plainly as I can put it for you. Concurrent compounding crises break programs because most programs are designed for sequential, isolated crises. Polycrisis is not a new word. It's being used by the Cascade Institute and others for years to describe situations where multiple global risks interact in ways that produce outcomes that are worse than the sum of those parts. Climate change interacts with food security. Energy crises interact with geopolitics. Pandemic response interacts with the supply chain. The math here is not 1 + 1 = 2. The math is 1 + 1 = 4. Why? What is new is that this is no longer just some macro phenomenon that you read about in the Financial Times or The Economist. It's happening to individual organizations on Tuesday. I work with leaders in companies every week who tell me some version of the same story about this issue. They had a plan and the plan worked, but the organization still struggled. Because while they were responding to the cyber incident, a regulator opened a query. While they were responding to the regulator, a key supplier went into bankruptcy or had a cyber incident of their own. While they were responding to the incident with a supplier, a senior leader resigned under a cloud and the news hit social media before even the CEO knew what was going on. Each individual response worked, but the organization still struggled. That is the polycrisis, and it does not care how mature your program is on paper or how well you did on your last audit. The shift we have to make as resilience leaders is from thinking about the big one, the big crisis that's going to hit, to thinking about several at once. From single scenario planning to multi-scenario operations, from the playbook that's on your shelf to the operating model that runs every day. And that shift is the subject of the rest of this report. I want to ground this in what's actually driving the polycrisis. We identified in our report 10 threats. I'm going to walk you through them, but I'm not going to walk you through them evenly. Some of these you've heard about 1,000 times. You don't need to hear me talk about it again. Others you have not been trained to think about, and those are the ones that I want you to spend time on. I'm going to group them into 3 buckets because I think that's a way to make sense of this as a system. The first bucket is geopolitical and physical risk. It's climate volatility. Severe weather incidents are now more frequent and more severe and harder to forecast. Your resilience plans for your facilities and your assumptions about insurance depend on a stationary climate pattern that doesn't apply anymore. And these patterns are just not going to stay the same. The second is geopolitical instability. Conflict in Eastern Europe, tension across Taiwan Strait, instability in the Middle East. Each of these has knock-on effects for your supply chain, your data sovereignty, and your travel risk picture. Third is supply chain fragility. This is just-in-time global supply chain that has delivered cost savings for 30 years for companies, has been delivering shocks for the last 5. There are single points of failure in tier 3 suppliers, concentration risk in manufacturing, logistics choke points at the Suez and the Panama Canals. The fourth is critical infrastructure exposure, power grids, water systems, telecommunications, aging roads. Some of these are aging, some of these are undersupplied. These are increasingly targeted as a domain of strategic competition, and downstream of all of that are your operations. The second bucket is about digital and information. Cyber, you know this one. The thing I want you to notice is that cyber is no longer just an IT concern. Ransomware against a hospital is a patient safety problem. Ransomware against a manufacturer is a delivery event. The blast radius is operational, not technical. AI-enabled threats, new entry on this list. Deepfakes voice attacks against finance teams. Synthetic media being used in fraud. AI-accelerated phishing and cyber attacks that defeat the awareness training that you've done with your teams. This threat is not theoretical anymore, it's in your inbox. Disinformation. Targeted campaigns against your brand, your CEO, your executives, your board, your products. Coordinated, inauthentic behavior on social platforms. False stories that move stock prices before your communications team even knows what has happened. And then data sovereignty and privacy. Because our regulatory environment's fragmenting. What is legal in California is now illegal in Brussels. What was legal yesterday is restricted today. What the tariff was yesterday is different today. Every cross-border data flow is now a potential exposure for you. The final bucket, the third bucket, is institutional and regulatory. Again, we have regulatory fragmentation, SEC, cyber disclosure rules, EU, DORA, state-level privacy laws, AI governance frameworks, bans on certain AI capabilities. Each of these is perhaps is reasonable on its own, but together they form a compliance burden that no single function in your organization can carry. And lastly, workforce and insider risk. Because we have a volatile talent market, hybrid work has changed the trust perimeter. Insider threat is no longer just a malicious employee. It's the well-meaning employee that's using shadow AI tools to do their job. 10 threats. None of these are new on their own. All of them are present at the same time. 10 different kinds of threat, any combination of which can hit your organization in the same quarter, in the same month, in the same week. And that is now the operating model, the operating environment that we're dealing with. Now, I want to get to the whole conversation, the part of the conversation where I'll probably make some of you uncomfortable as we talk through this, including even myself. Most business continuity, crisis management, and ITDR programs were built for a different problem than the one we're facing today. They were built around a specific regulation or a specific scenario. Could be ISO 22301 or NIST or FFIEC, the pandemic plan, what was that after H1N1, the active shooter plan after Las Vegas, the cyber plan after the last ransomware incident. Now, this is not a criticism of those who came before us or even myself when I was leading a program in a corporation. We built what we were asked to build, and we built it well. The criticism, though, is one of architecture. And this gap that we have shows up in four places. Number one, most plans will assume one crisis at a time. Most BC plans are written around a single triggering event: loss of facility, loss of technology, loss of people, loss of supplier. They tell you what to do when one of these things happen. They don't tell you what to do when they all happen at the same time, or two of them happen at the same time. Number two, governance assumes there's one decision maker at a time. Most of our crisis management structures have a clear escalation path for one event, a single incident commander or an incident sponsor or a crisis leader, single way of commanding or leading the incident. But when you're running three response efforts in parallel, you discover pretty quickly that the same five people are on every call. So decisions get queued, and bandwidth becomes the binding constraint, not the plan. Number three, most exercises assume one storyline at a time. So look at the last couple of tabletops or simulations that you ran. I'm willing to bet you followed a single linear narrative. The threat was introduced, the team responded, the threat was resolved. Now that's a useful exercise, but that is not a polycrisis exercise. A polycrisis exercise has two or three or four narrative lines that are running in parallel. It has injects that interfere with each other. It has resource conflicts that force the team to choose and prioritize. Most teams have never been put in that environment. Number four, technology also assumes one failure domain at a time. If you look at your DR runbooks, they will assume the data center is down, but they'll make assumptions about your corporate or production networks. Your crisis communications platform assumes that you can get into it. Your ransomware playbook assumes that your identity provider works. When the failures cascade across domains, the technology stack that you were depending upon for response is itself part of the impact zone. So this is the gap. And here's the hard part. It doesn't matter how mature your program is. You can have a green dashboard, you can have a clean audit, full regulatory compliance, and you can still find this gap. Because nobody asked you to build for this problem. I'm asking you to build for it now. So what does building it actually mean? Well, in our Polycrisis report, we organize the answer around four capabilities. They're the four pillars of our resilience operating model, the framework that we use at BrightPath. The four capabilities are sense, decide, respond, recover. So let me walk through this with you. The first capability is about sensing the signals early. It's understanding what is happening before it becomes a crisis. It's that early warning function. It's threat intelligence and supply chain monitoring, social media listening, regulatory tracking, internal anomaly detection. These all work together as one system. What good looks like is that you're flowing these signals into some single picture, and that picture is continuously updated. The right people see it without having to ask. What the gap looks like today is every function has its own dashboard. Nobody has the picture. Leaders find out about what's going on by watching CNBC. Capability two is about being able to decide with speed and conviction. This is governance. It's decision rights and escalation and authority. Because the polycrisis will test your decision-making architecture more than it tests anything else, because there's too many decisions to make and not enough people to make them and not enough time to make them in serial. What good looks like are pre-positioned decision rights. A clear definition of what gets escalated and what gets handled. Executive sponsors who are trained to make these decisions under pressure, and a common operating picture that supports the decisions, not just describes them. The gap? The gap looks like every decision going to the same five people. The five people are also the five people who are running the response. And so their bottleneck is human attention. Capability three is about responding across all domains simultaneously. And that's orchestration, the ability to run more than one response operation at the same time, shared situational awareness, deconflicted resources, integrated communications. So this looks good as a unified command structure that can be split into multiple teams as needed, cross-trained responders, a communications function that can work across all of that without contradicting itself, shared logistics and data. The gap looks like every team has its own room. The ransomware team and the regulations team find out about each other on the news. The comms team is rewriting messages on the fly because no one's told them anything. Capability four is recovering and learning. And this isn't just getting back up. It's about getting better every time. Every incident, every near miss, every exercise, every regulatory inquiry is a free education. Most organizations just leave this on the table. What this looks like is a good structured after-action process that runs every time. Lessons are incorporated back into your plans and training and technology investment. It's a culture that treats lessons learned as fuel, not as criticism. What the gap looks like is an after-action report that goes onto a SharePoint site and is never looked at again. The same finding shows up in the report after the next incident. Sense, decide, respond, recover, and learn. Those are the four capabilities as we talk about it. And if you built all four of these, then you have the operating model that we use. If you've only built three of these, then you have a program that has a hole in it. Four capabilities. That is the shape of a program that has been built for the polycrisis. So how do we actually get from where you are today to a program that works? We use a four-phase roadmap. It's our proven process: diagnose, design, deliver, and evolve. You start by diagnosing the gaps. It's not a desktop review. It's not a maturity self-assessment. It's a structured look at where your program breaks under current stress. We walk the floor, we read the plans, we talk to the people who actually run a response. We compare what we find against the standards you're accountable to and against the threats that you actually face. And that deliverable for us is an honest picture of that gap, because without that, anything that follows is just guessing. The second phase is designing that model. Governance, capabilities, technology, people. But we would sequence the work so that quick wins land first and the heavier structural changes follow. And we tie all that back to those capabilities that we were talking about. The output here is not a binder, but a targeted operating model that has a roadmap for improvement. Phase three is about delivering the change. And this is about really writing the new plans, standing up the new governance, building new tooling, executing on new training, driving new exercises that really push the boundaries on what you have done before. We sequence delivery to build capability rather than backlog. The wrong way to do this is to instantly launch 15 work streams in parallel and burn everybody out. The right way is to build capability one layer at a time, prove that it works, and then add on the next. And finally, phase four, evolve. This is the discipline of staying current. It's staying up with the threat environment. It's staying up with changes in the business and the regulatory environment. Every quarter, every exercise, every plan, every incident, every near miss should feed back into your program. And our resilience operating model has a built-in evolution cycle for exactly that reason. And then just a note on pace. You don't have to do all this at once. You don't have to do all this in a year. Most organizations can't anyway. But what you do need to do is start. Because the cost of delay compounds, and that next polycrisis is not going to come on some sort of schedule. I want to leave you with one thought. The organizations that treat resilience as an operating model rather than as a plan or as a checklist you need to complete, they're the ones that will come through the next decade intact. They're the ones that will manage that next crisis or crises. The polycrisis issue is not coming, it's here. The only real question is whether your program has been built for it. So read the report, walk through the four capabilities with your team, run an exercise that has more than one storyline. Start somewhere. If you found this episode useful, do me a favor. Subscribe to Managing Uncertainty wherever you get your podcasts, leave a rating, and share the episode with one resilience leader that you respect. That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. We'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.